Okay, halfway towards Christmas, and when I say halfway towards Christmas, halfway through December, and well, some cold weather that has made gardening a little bit on the tricky side. And to, well, explain a little more about what's going on with the ground and all the rest of it at the moment, of course, is Jean Griffin. Welcome back, Jean. Morning.
Good morning, Tony. Nice to hear you again.
And you. It's been a little cold of late, hasn't it?
Just a little chilly. And when I took the dog out this morning, I forgot to take my gloves.
Oh. You can't be doing that now, can
no,
you?
No,
really?
No.
It does make for very difficult to look after things in the garden, other than just generally keeping things tidy, I suppose.
Yeah, not too tidy, though, because, you know, seed heads left on grasses and things like that are absolutely fantastic for the birds.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's remembering to put out not only bird food, but water for the birds.
Yeah.
And also for the hedgehogs. So you don't need to be too tidy in your garden, because all the little invertebrates all go in amongst the old rotting leaves and et cetera, et cetera. So not too tidy.
Yeah, we have a mouse that runs around our garden at some point. I'm sure most people have got a mouse somewhere in their garden. They may know it.
Absolutely.
They may not. Our dogs certainly know it. And we've actually caught sight of the mouse once, a tiny little thing. But it's very strange what they actually get up to in a garden, isn't it?
Oh, it is. I mean, they have you got anything like onions planted or garlic planted?
Yeah, we've got some garlic planted, yeah.
Yeah,
do mice like that?
Well, they dig around. That's the only thing. They dig around and then they look for other seeds and then dig up your garlic, and then your garlic roots are exposed and the garlic dies. So
oh, dear.
Just make sure that it's, you know, well firmed in.
Yeah, okay. Fortunately, ours is in a box up off the ground.
This
little mouse goes backwards and forwards at ground level from one side of the garden to the other, busily doing whatever mice do. But I digress slightly there to some of the wildlife of the garden, rather than looking at something that should be done, I think, at this time of year, sowing sweet peas.
Yeah, in actual fact, you know, it's getting you can still get them done. But if you actually plant them before Christmas, then you usually get them flowering much, much earlier. I mean, and really much, much earlier. And I think that sweet peas early in the season are much nicer than anything else.
Oh, yeah.
So you need to get your nice little pots all ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
And start looking to see what you can find. Now, I grow a sweet pea, which is a very old heritage seed. And I love it, absolutely love it. So look for heritage seeds as well as some of the others. They have a better scent. But first of all, you know, you've got a peat-free compost, presumably, and you're going to fill your little containers. And then you don't need to actually, loads of people used to say years ago, oh, you need to soak them overnight.
Mm.
It's not absolutely necessary to do that, but you can do if you feel that you'd get a better germination. So two seeds in each pot, water them in, and then stand them somewhere where the mice can't get them.
If everybody's been following what was suggested last month, which is one of the tips from last month, was check that the greenhouse heaters are working. Would the greenhouse be the place to put them?
No, you need to have them outside.
Oh, right.
Really, somewhere where the temperature isn't going down to freezing. But you can, in actual
fact, tricky at the moment, that one.
Exactly. But you could actually do a double load of fleece over them, couldn't you?
Yeah.
So you could put them in the greenhouse. That's not a problem. A cold frame, or indoors if you want to get them germinating early.
Mm.
But they really ought to go on somewhere like a north-facing window.
Yeah.
North-facing windows have the best light, and that's why artists always choose north-facing studios.
Mm.
And that's a bit of useless information, isn't
well,
it?
I'll tell you what, there's a mind of useful tips going on here. That I mean, north-facing, who'd have thought? You know, you think you just plant sweet peas and away you go. But no, stick them on a north-facing window because of the light.
Yeah.
It's little things like that that make the difference between being a little bit green-fingered and a whole lot green-fingered. you know, which is it's wider than the distance from you to me, I think, really, somehow on this one. You're the really green-fingered one, and, well, I wouldn't put myself in a green-fingered category at all. But
well, perhaps yours are lime green, are they?
Very, very pale green, I would suggest.
Then what you need to do is, once they've germinated...
Yeah.
Once they've germinated, they go to round about, they have a long stem and the leaves grow out on either side. Mm-hmm. Once they've got to about four leaves, I would say, pinch out the top. Don't be afraid to pinch out the top.
Okay. How long does it take for this whole process to go from planting to kind of fruition, I suppose?
Oh, well, if you plant them now, mm-hmm. you should get flowers at the end of May, beginning of June.
Right, okay. That's pretty good.
Of course, the thing is that if you don't have good germination now, you can re-sow in the spring and just have later flowers.
Oh, right, okay.
So you could do a double whammy, really, couldn't you?
Well,
some early, some late.
Yeah, you could. I mean, that's the thing with doing stuff in December, is you're not quite sure how it's going to work, because the weather is, I mean, it's supposed to be cold, but... the way things have been, it's been cold, it's been warm, unseasonably warm, unseasonably cold. You're getting these variations on how it should actually be, which I'm guessing can confuse some of these seeds and plants into thinking that it's not quite the season.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've got a yellow bottle brush in my garden and it's flowering its socks off. Silly thing.
What did you call it? A yellow
callistemon. It's a bottle brush plant. It's an Australian plant.
Yeah.
Totally hardy over here. And mine's a big plant.
Mm.
But it's a silly thing. It looks mostly the bottle brush are red.
Yeah.
And it looks like a sort of a red feathery circular thing.
Mm.
I tell you what, because it looks like a bottle brush. You know the ones that you used to use for babies' bottles?
Yeah.
But mine is a yellow one, which is, I've got to be different, haven't I?
It's quite exotic, your garden, from the sounds of it, isn't it? now, we mentioned the cold weather and the hard ground, which, I mean, you mentioned sweet peas that can be planted, but they're done in pots and stuff.
Yeah.
Not a lot else you can do in December, really, is there, apart from just keep tidying up the leaves and that sort of stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's December's really sort of an in-between month, isn't it?
Hmm.
Everybody's getting ready for Christmas and, you know, there's not a huge amount to do. You should have actually pruned an awful lot of stuff prior to this.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about houseplants particularly, really what you need to do, houseplants need good light, the majority of them anyway. And so you perhaps need to move them around a little bit. As I say, north and west facing are the best for houseplants during the winter because you get better light that way.
Okay.
Maximum winter light really is what you're after. And... figs. Do you know anything about figs, Tony?
Figs. I know absolutely nothing about figs except that you can get them out of a packet.
Right.
That's about the extent of the knowledge that I have on figs.
Okay. Have you seen fig trees?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, I probably have without actually knowing it. I'd say I'm not your ace gardener, but yeah.
What happens is that the figs appear on, and everybody says, but they don't have flowers. Well, they do have flowers, but it's not, you know, they're inside. Now, figs are pollinated by wasps.
Yeah.
Microscopic wasps, which go in through the bottom of the little fruit and pollinate inside, and then the fruit swells up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is a quick description of what it is. And at this time of the year, anything that is bigger than your thumbnail, which is like an embryo fig, which will produce proper big figs next year, anything bigger than that should be actually taken away. They're not going to do anything. So you go and you knock them off. That's all there is. So that's the fig tip for this year. And I had a phone call a couple of weeks ago from somebody that I know to say that he'd had a fig tree. Now, this is patience.
How big are fig trees before we get into
this? Oh, huge. They can get huge. You can prune them, but they do get big. Right? This chap has had a fig tree for 30 years. That's right.
Yeah.
And in the whole of 30 years, he's only ever had 50 edible fruits.
Really? Do you think he's doing something wrong?
Oh, I said I'd be giving up. I mean, after the first 10 years, come on. Yeah. So he never feeds it. Yeah. And what he does is he prunes it heavily every spring. Well, if he does that, he's cutting off all the baby fruit.
So he probably has had more fruit, but he just hasn't had it because he's cut it off early.
That's right.
Okay.
So there we are.
I guess the thing then with fig trees is don't prune them early. Watch them do their stuff and then prune them. And then take off the fruit, prune them, and away you go again.
Absolutely. Of course,
love that little story. The other thing, of course, about December is because you can't do much in the garden, it does give you the chance to get out and see what's going on in the garden centres and find the odd little gem of a bargain. Instead of the January sales, I think you've got the December sales here, because there are some rather good bargains to be had with bulbs, aren't there?
There are, definitely. I got some the other day, particularly at the time. Beware of daffodils, because a lot of the daffodils will have already started to really, really sprout out. So that's difficult. But don't forget that, you know, if you plant them late, they'll flower later. So you may have got some in the garden that are coming on and flower, say, May, April, May. And then you'll get a little spurt and then they'll flower at the beginning of July. June. But I actually bought some really nice tulips this week. And they were a proper packet, about 10 in a packet, and they were £2. Now, I'm going to put those in pots. They just about started to sprout, but they'll be absolutely fine. So I'm popping them in a pot and I'm keeping the pot out of the frozen. I'm going to just stack them in the garage until I'm ready to put them outside.
Okay, so there's definitely a few bits to go and see at the garden centre. But then, of course, I'm sure lots of people do a bit of, especially if they're really keen gardeners, will do a little bit of gardening over Christmas. But then we get to the new year and January. Now, January can be one of two things. It can either be freezing cold, lots of snow, where you can't really do anything much at all, or it can be very, very mild and kind of wet, and you've got kind of damp, soggy ground. What do you do in the new year?
As little as possible on the ground. Honestly, as little as you can, because the more you tramp over it, the less air that gets into the soil. And roots need air. So that's why they talk about, you know, putting grit and gravel and things like that in pots. But whatever you do, don't be tempted to sort your lawn out or anything like that, because that's a disaster waiting to happen. So keep off the lawn, don't walk on it, and not too much sort of digging around. Ground actually freezes, and you would be surprised if we get really, really heavy frost, how deep that frost goes. You may get it right on the top and it may just dry out in the sun, but underneath it's still cold.
And doesn't the ground expand a bit?
It does, particularly with the water that's in it, because the water freezes.
Yeah.
That's why they always recommend, or used to, the old gardeners, and I think we need to take some of the ideas from them and use them now. That's why they used to say, always dig your garden in October and November if you've got a heavy clay soil, because the winter will actually break that down, because the ice inside there expands, opens up the clay particles, and then when the warm weather comes, the water just disappears. So you've got a more open soil.
It's very clever how nature works, isn't it?
It is, actually.
It's wonderful. You, speaking of don't touch your lawns, funny enough, you know how wet it had been before this cold snap started last week.
Yeah.
Well, a couple of days before that, outside my house, we've got this big grass verge. Three of these council lawnmowers. They're more like go-karts, actually, yeah, with bits on them. Came past over the lawn. This is to the end of November into December. They're cutting grass, and it's something we've just never heard of. It trashed the ground, but the grass is nice. The grass is nice and short, is all I can say. Not to be recommended.
No, definitely not. And I mean, usually I can't understand why they actually did that, because usually their contract sort of ends at the end of October.
Yeah, but I was surprised as well. It was just the noise of them going past, and you thought, what is that? I looked out, and there they were, three of them, one behind the other, one doing the outside, one doing the inside, and one going down the middle. And so all you've got is these tyre tracks and some very short grass.
slapped wrists somewhere.
I think so. So we've done a lot of the preparation for things for the spring, but I'm sure there are going to be some things to prepare in January. And maybe we can get to talk about those. I know you're going to be off on your travels for a little while next year. So we'll catch up with you again in January.
Okay.
And we'll find out just what we need to do to get us through the first half of the year. Jean Griffin, it's been good to talk to you this year.
You too, Tony.
Have a wonderful Christmas.
And you.
And we'll talk to you again in January.
Okay, then.
Thank you.
Nice to talk to you. Happy New Year, too. That's the first one you've had.
Thank you.